Good day, entrepreneurs. Welcome to the Microsoft Virtual Academy. I've got a very knowledgeable guest in the studio today, and he will introduce himself shortly. But if you are by any means interested or need more information on digital marketing, the importance thereof, the breakdown thereof, how to apply it to your business, you have come to the right place. So we will hopefully coach you as much as we can today in terms of what the various options are within the digital marketing portfolio, if we can call it that. So my name is Anya de Klerk, and I am from Thinkroom Consulting, and I've got a very interesting guest, as I mentioned. Welcome to the studio. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you so much, Anya. I'm Mpumelelo Lembede, and I'm a digital coach or digital consultant. I work with small business owners, and I show them the importance of having a digital footprint for their businesses.
Okay. So see, in this day and era, we cannot be without a digital footprint, right? That's true. We've concluded that in the first session. So in order to survive and to make sure, if you want to be one of those businesses that grow twice as fast compared to your competitor, you need digital marketing. So give us a recap again on what we discussed in session one.
Sure.
And then we'll go into what is digital marketing.
That's cool. So in session one, we kind of spoke about the need for a small business owner or an entrepreneur to understand the basics of digital marketing and actually know exactly how it works, how it impacts their business, so that, as you said, they can grow and also outsmart their competitors. The best part about digital marketing, again, is that it gives you a footprint, it gives your company an image, it gives your company the ability to know a bit more about your customers so that you can sell them exactly what they're looking for. And it also gives you a nice way just to keep an eye on the competition and also understand exactly what they're up to. So having a digital footprint is very important, and also understanding what your customers are up to is just as important.
Okay, converted and agreed. So in saying that, let's give the audience a bit more on what is digital marketing and what are these four elements that we're gonna tackle a bit more in detail.
Sure, all right, cool. So if I start off with the first one, well, just to jump into that, because I get asked that question quite a lot. People always start off with the questions like, okay, fine, I hear what you're saying, but what is digital marketing and how does it actually impact my business? And digital marketing is a bit of a science. I'm not a scientist myself, but digital marketing is a science that utilizes online tools to actually achieve a certain goal. So it depends on what you're trying to do. So if you're a business owner and you're trying to find new clients, as an example, you tap into various resources and different tools, and you set up analytics, you set yourself some time and goals, and you go out there and you try and find those clients using, as I said, a bit of science, a bit of analytics, a bit of psychology as well, which I get to on a bit later on, and you utilize those tricks. Tricks is probably not the best word, maybe tactics to try and reach your goals.
Okay, so it was interesting to say that you said it's got a scientific approach.
A bit of psychology, a bit of science, probably a bit of everything mashed up into one. But we'll go through it and I'll explain it to you how I mean it.
Okay, so let's start off with the first construct. So what is search engine optimization and what is the role of content within that construct?
Okay, cool. So what I'll do is actually start with content first and show you how it links to the SEO. So when I explain this to business owners and they ask me, okay, fine, I hear what you're saying. So you want me to create content. What is content? And content is basically the story that you're telling. It's not a fairy tale, the ones that we grew up with. It's actually a story about your business. So if you have a website or you have social media channels or you have email or you feature on another website, your business is featured on another website, you need to put something on that. And that is where your content comes from, or as I like to call it, it's a story. You know, you share your customer reviews, you share your testimonials, you even take pictures of yourself sitting in a studio being interviewed for MBAs, and you actually show, you put that out there as content for your business. So you tell a story about what your business does on a day-to-day basis. If I just pull it back, because it's a bit easier to explain, on a personal basis, majority of us have social media accounts, and we use our social media accounts to tell a story about ourselves as a person. Mm. What I get up to, what I like, what team I follow, and we put that up every day without actually noticing that we are telling a story. If I follow you, Anya, on Twitter, I know exactly what your passions are. I probably know what you eat, what you don't like, and because I follow you. I'm a follower of yours in your community. It's exactly the same with business as well. You put out a story through your social media accounts. You use other influential websites or influencers to tell your story as well. If its content is good, I scratch it actually. If the content is great, people will share it and it will be linked with other people that might create a bit of interest. As you can see, the storytelling links to social media. That's one channel that you use to get the information out. It also can generate you leads by actually putting out great content. People actually like it and be like, okay, cool. I like what that guy is selling. I'm actually going to buy it. And lastly, it links to your SEO or search engine optimization that I'm going to move to next.
Okay, so SEO.
Sure. So if I break down SEO, I'm going to try and do it as fast as possible and makes a lot more sense. So SEO is search engines. Search engines are what we use as people to actually find information online. So if I use a popular one, Google, as an example, we usually put in a specific keyword. So if I'm looking to buy t-shirts online, and as an example, so I might search, use the keywords t-shirts online. What the search engine then does is that it will then utilize algorithms, some maths in the background, that will pull all the information that links to that specific keyword. So as I said, I'll be searching for t-shirts online. It'll then rank each and every single website based on the articles, or based on the content, or based on social media, or based on where your information is put on other websites. So if I just go back for a second on that, when Google is going to rank the websites that you see after that search, the guys that tend to appear first are the guys that have put in a proper shift when it comes to their content. So their business or their sneakers or whatever they're selling has been featured on industry-leading websites. That's a big plus for your business. Okay, cool. You're getting some good reviews on Google, or maybe you have a restaurant and you get good reviews on Google. That's also a plus for you. You are getting featured on social media accounts. People are retweeting. People are sharing their content you're writing. Plus, plus, plus. And then, lastly, if I'm searching using a mobile phone and Google knows that, hey, hang on, this website is actually mobile friendly, another plus. You get the top rank when someone searches for you. So that's how a search engine works, and it does this in half a second. It'll pull all that information, put it together, and then rank you based on what I'm looking for. But Google at the same time wants to make sure that I'm sending people to the right information.
Okay, so to bring it down to a practical level for the entrepreneur,
sure.
I've got a coffee business myself, and you are saying the starting point for me to get ranked high up onto the mobile coffee business is to be able to generate good content, so telling my story, making sure I've got online platforms. So I've got a Twitter account, Facebook account, a Instagram account, a LinkedIn profile, etc.
Sure.
And to make sure I've got good content that will enable my rankings when it comes to search engine optimization to be improved. Is that's
exactly it. I'm glad you actually understood it.
Okay.
I was a bit worried. That's exactly it. So by providing, and again, it's not good content, it's great content. For providing great content, so I'm at your coffee shop and I'm a happy client and I've just bought myself a large cappuccino and you give me a muffin for free or something like that. Maybe it's muffin free Mondays or whatever at your coffee shop. And you actually, I put that up on my social media accounts, but like I mention or at you or tag you in my post and say, I'm at Onion's Coffee Shop. Muffins are free on a Monday. Love it. More people start sharing that. It starts getting retweeted. A coffee blogger might take it up and be like, hey, did you know that Onion's website actually has muffins? Oh, sorry, Onion's Coffee Shop has muffins on a Monday. It starts spreading that way.
Yeah.
Your search engine or Google will then look at that and be like, okay, coffee blogger likes her, her customers are liking her, her social media is blowing up. So obviously this is the person that I need to rank high when someone is searching for coffee shops.
Okay, then glad I got that one. So that means search engine optimization and content goes hand in hand. So that's why the very clever little picture that you've put here for us.
That's correct. It works together. You kind of need to have the glue that puts everything together in your business. And when you're working with digital, it's all about content at the end. If I'm looking to buy something from you and I don't know anything about your company, at least give me something that I can nibble on and be like, okay, I understand where they're coming from. I see where they're coming from. Other people seem to like them. And that's how you make the sale.
Okay. So moving on to the next one, we've covered SEO and content.
That's
so
correct.
A lot of people say, so what is paid advertising?
Yeah. So paid advertising is what? This is a bit of the science parts that I was talking about earlier on. Earlier, we just spoke about SEO and content. What SEO and content generally does is that it creates a community for you. Again, I was talking about people that are trying out your coffee or a blogger trying it out. You then have a community of people that now follow you and are wearing your coffee shop t-shirts and they love it. That's exactly the type of community you try and build, and you use content and SEO for that. However, when it comes to a business owner, it's good to have a community. It's good to have a group of people that you can tap into every once in a while when you're looking to get potential clients or to get likes or to run competitions. But you need to make money at the same time. For me, paid advertising is one of the best forms of any form of advertising that can get you conversions online. You can, as a small business owner, again, you look at your budgets, you need to understand it. You can't use traditional media anymore because it's probably too expensive and secondly, it does not convert as well. Paid advertising, brilliant. So what it is that it allows you, and as you put up on the screen for Facebook as an example, Facebook, I have a Facebook profile, you might have one too, and I'm sure some of the viewers at home have Facebook. Facebook knows where I go. Facebook knows where I eat, Facebook knows what I like, Facebook knows how old I am, and knows my birthday. So as a person, we see Facebook as a social media platform. As a business owner, that's not what Facebook is. Facebook is actually an advertising agency.
That's quite a shift in thoughts if you think about it.
Yeah, it's what I try and do quite a lot when I speak to business owners, that when you look at things personally, yes, you're the client at that point in time, but when you're a business owner, step back a bit and actually look at the platforms that you're using. So if you're looking at Facebook as the business, as an advertising agency, fine, we'll use your example again of running a coffee shop, and you're looking for people within Johannesburg who drink coffee. You go to Facebook and be like, listen, Facebook, these are the people that I'm looking for. You give them the demographics. You tell them this is how much your budget is. Facebook will be like, right, for that amount of money and for that demographics, I'll show you adverts or text or whatever you're looking for to 10,000 people. You're thinking to yourself, well, for I'm going to spend X amount to reach 10,000 people who are coffee drinkers in a specific area. I'm happy with that.
Okay, so that makes sense. So let's drill it down practically
for
me as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So I've got a Facebook profile.
Yes.
I know I've got a mobile coffee business. What is the minimum amount I can spend on a Facebook ad, for example, to get extended reach? Because now winter's coming. We know we need to get the level of usage up. We need to get this mobile truck to all the little schools. What is the minimum I can spend, and where do I start to do it? How do I get an ad out there?
So, and it's actually quite a great question. And when you're using a Facebook a paid campaign, what's very important first and foremost is that you need to understand what it is you're trying to achieve. So you just told me you're trying to get more customers to come in. So you zero in on that. Like, it's not really brand awareness. You're not really trying to get more likes on your Facebook page. You want people to click through and actually know where the location of your coffee shop is or your mobile coffee shop. So that's what the first thing you need to do.
Okay.
You'll then identify by using the analytics that Facebook has, who exactly is the person that you're looking for. Are you speaking to a trendy younger age group? Are you looking between, I don't know, 25 to 30? Is it more females? Is it more males? You start then looking at your customer base and then you put that information in your Facebook ad campaign.
Okay.
Facebook has a great platform where you, once you have an account, you obviously you create a Facebook page, as you said, and then you log in and you utilize the tools that are there. If you've never done it before, it sounds terrifying. Trust me, it is simple. Facebook gives you the suggestions of what people are looking for if they're interested in coffee shops. So it would be like maybe cappuccino, espressos, or whatever it is that interests them, it'll actually give you the suggestions yourself. It will tell you within your area how many people are actually interested in that, so you can just target yourself and target those people using that platform. Now, you asked me about money. How much would you need to spend a minimum? It all depends on what are you trying to achieve. So how Facebook works is that it gives you an estimation of how many people you would reach based on your budgets. So if you're spending 100 Rand in a week or 1,000 Rand in a week, it all depends on how many people you want to reach. So the minimum is down to as little as you can afford to spend. I'll put it down that way without giving you a number, to as much that you can be able to spend.
So it can be 10 or 15 or 20.
Exactly.
So whatever I have available.
Exactly, whatever you have. But one thing I always say to people is that don't just do it for the sake of doing it. Don't rather save up and have enough to have that one big impact that you can run a campaign over a month, instead of spending what you have there and then, which might be a little, nothing wrong with that, especially if you're running a two-day campaign, or if it's a Monday campaign for the free muffins, then run it just for that day.
Okay, all right. So then that is on Facebook. So I know we can also pay for certain things with a pay-per-click
exactly
option or a... So tell us a bit more about this, sure, and we'll have to refer to the screen because I know this teaches us what you want to say.
Exactly. So thankfully, we've got illustrations here. So in this example, you just look at someone who searched for nasal hair removal.
Yes.
And they've looked in an area. And by searching that, you find adverts that pop up. So what Google normally does, again, it'll rank them, but this time not on organic, as we spoke about before, regarding content. It actually ranks them based on bidding. So as a person, as a business owner, you would then bid on certain terms or mm-hmm. certain keywords that will keep you higher than your competition. So it's very important that you, again, step back from being the business owner and just be the consumer. If I'm going to Google and I'm looking for hair removal, what would I normally search? If I'm looking for a coffee shop, what would the terms be? Something that's also quite cool at the moment, especially internationally, is that more and more people are starting to use voice searches. So if I
really
go, yeah, that's becoming one of the biggest trends. So normally when you type something like how do I do something or how do I, but the way you type and the way you speak into your voice searches is slightly different. So when you're doing this a practice of setting up a paid adverts account or a campaign, start first by just writing how you'd write if you're searching for something. Then at the same time, practice how you would speak if someone was searching for it, because what Google then does is that it takes those terms, again, if you look at the nasal hair removal here, it'll take that term and be like, right, who's bidding on these terms? Well, in this example, the SK and laser removal is the one that bid on it, and they're on the top of it. You bid on the terms every day, basically. It can run automatically, it's not as difficult. Again, Google gives you a platform called AdWords. You can create an account, you log in. If you're not too sure what you're doing, and we'll go through it now. If you're not too sure what you're doing, rather get an agent to actually assist you. Google does provide you with that.
Okay, so you literally create an account in AdWords and you can use your keywords. So I'm still interested in that voice, because that is something I haven't heard about, to be honest. So would you do an actual voice recording and then do a search like Siri?
Siri. So Siri, find me a nasal hair removal around me. So
okay.
you need to, most mobile phones now, and I think all mobile devices actually have a voice search function on them. So I don't know if it's being lazy or just enjoying the perks of technology, but more people are actually starting to use voice searches. I mean, I do it myself for my GPS when I'm driving. I just put on Google Maps or Waze and I actually say the destination that I want to go to. After a couple of tries, when it finally understands me, always tend to have to use a specific accent to actually get it to work for me. But that's how people are starting to search. So if you can imagine yourself searching for something again using Siri, you can imagine yourself doing the same thing on on Google or anything like that.
You've just taught me something today I didn't know.
That's cool.
Okay, so give us some examples on some platforms.
So these are all platforms that, again, we use on day-to-day. You'll see that you've got Twitter, you've got YouTube, and you've got LinkedIn as well as Instagram. Now, these four I've picked up because all of us at some point have had these touch points. Again, when I speak to a business owner, I want you to step back and actually look at how either your competitor or guys in your industry or even the bigger players in the industry actually advertise in social media. Before you get started, look at how the other guys are doing. Doesn't make sense for you to either do it by a display, so web banners, should it be text, should it be video? So start understanding and see how the other guys are playing around with paid. So these are all examples of paid advertising. The first one, as you can see, is YouTube. Someone searched for shoes. The very first ad that you see was Nike Soccer, so it's shoes. Makes perfect sense. So slightly different to how all the other social media platforms works. YouTube also works on keywords. So when someone types a specific thing, you get the ads that pop up there. I know we all get that ad whenever you're about to watch a video, you just wait and press skip ad, skip ad, skip ad. That's a normal ad, but it's slightly different to this. This is, those ads are usually run by your bigger industries. For a small business owner, I would say first start here and then move on to the bigger ads.
And then we can see there on Twitter which one specifically is the promoted ad. We can see on Instagram which ones were the sponsored. Okay. Exactly. So and that is what it would look like.
So that's how you see it. So, I mean, this example is just for you as the business owner, just to go back and actually identify. This helps identifying what it normally looks like. And then you can start picking them up. Because I've noticed that because I've been doing this for so long, I start seeing things differently to how a normal person would see them. So most people don't even know those are adverts because it's so well done by the actual platform that it looks with it looks natural. It looks native within the platform, and people don't even realize that they're actually clicking on an ad.
You're right. Sure. So, okay, so now we're wanting to start a paid campaign. Yeah. But what are some of the most important things that we need to consider before we actually start a paid campaign?
For sure. So everyone gets excited of them. I tell them this. You could reach, as we're talking about, you could reach 10,000 people on Facebook. What? Sign me up. And everyone just gets so excited and they're ready to get going. And I'm like, whoa, slow down. Again, because I'm coming from a background of small businesses and entrepreneurs, I know how important it is for budgets to last you. Paid advertising is different to how you would normally advertise on social media or Google for free. Because there you can just try whatever. You can keep trying, you can keep trying. And I always stress to the guys, start with something on by just putting up a post that is free. Run it on social media or test it out. See which one's getting more mentions, which one's getting more likes. Chances are if you put some budgets behind that, you'll probably be quite successful. So what I've done is that I've gone through, I would say about 5 things that you need to always remember before you start a social media campaign.
Okay, please tell us.
Number one, and this is important for anything relating to business, regardless of paid advertising, you need to know what you're trying to do. So you need to set your campaign objectives and parameters before you even start. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to get more likes for your Facebook page? Are you trying to get brand exposure? So you're looking for impressions? What are you trying to do before you even start this this campaign? So you need to put that down and write it down and also understand what it is that you're trying to achieve.
And with that, probably saying that will tell you what your call to action in your paid campaign will be.
Exactly.
Once you know that objective.
100%. So you can okay. So you can link, well put, I can't even add it. That's, okay. That's well put, that's true. How will you measure success? So it's all good and well saying you want likes or you want brand awareness or you're looking for sales. How many likes are you looking for? So you need to know, okay, give it a number, 1,000 likes for your Facebook page. Or you're looking for brand awareness, how many impressions or reach are you looking for?
So that is a good point you're putting up, because how we measure success, sometimes you get excited by the number of reach.
Yes.
But reach versus actual engagement is two whole different worlds, because ultimately what you'd want is the engagement for people to actually click through or go to your website or inquire for a price or a next step.
I agree with 100%. You know, having worked within agency before and also worked as a client and understood, one of the things, and I because I've become more sympathetic, as much as I've spent most of my careers working with agencies, I've become more sympathetic to the small business owner. And a guy would be like, yeah, I want to grow my business. Can you get me 1,000 likes on my Facebook page? I'd be like, I can get you 1,000 likes on your Facebook page in a day if you really wanted that. But what does that mean? Like, you're going to pay me to get you 1,000 likes on your Facebook page, and then what?
Yes, and usually even what I've started seeing in social media are these egg people. Have you seen them? These egg people that don't even exist, and buy a number of followers.
Exactly.
So for our audience to say, please stay away from that.
Please do. I agree with you. Again, There are a lot of things out there, and I think we spoke in the first part, I'm not too sure, but if it looks too good to be true, if someone mm-hmm. says to you, I can get you 10,000 Instagram followers, or I've got, you start thinking to yourself, okay, firstly, how are they going to do this? Like, how can you legitimately get 10,000 Instagram followers? It's difficult. It's very difficult to do that. And at the end of the day, what are 10,000 Instagram followers going to do for you? Except most of them will be bots. Most of the guys create fake accounts. They just follow you around, and you find yourself, you got 10,000 followers, and maybe out of those 10,000, 500 are actually active.
So actually what you're saying there for our entrepreneurs as well. So if you are doing your competitor analysis and you see on their social media platforms like they've got 15,000 followers, don't be put aside or think, oh, how am I going to get to that? Or use that as your measurement to say how well are they doing versus how you're doing. Because they can just as well be pods or little egg people that we call them.
I like egg people. I'm going to use egg people going forward.
Okay, sorry, I got distracted. So what is your marketing campaign budget?
Exactly. Again, small business owner, you need to know how much you're willing to spend. And you need to understand, once you understand what you're trying to achieve, you then will know how much you need to spend. So you put down a budget for yourself and you'll be like, okay, cool. Out of my business, I can afford for marketing. And again, if it's your first time, start small. Okay? Start small and actually see and watch it. Don't sit there and refresh every 5 minutes. But day to day, start small and actually see exactly how it works, how you get in the clicks. Because if you're seeing that you're not getting anything and you're spending money, but you're seeing your budget's evaporating, then it means you need to stop and rethink your strategy. So set yourself a budget, start off small. Once you start understanding it, and then you can start growing it a bit more.
That is so true, because we've even seen in some of the cases where we play around that we spend a little amount of money and just the time that you post in terms of like timing of a post and when marketing something has a big impact on reach and engagement. So even if marketing and spending that little bit, it's a lot about trial and error and learning what is the best time to post, where is the best target audience, etc.
Exactly, because if we all think about it, it's just you and I here, you might have different responsibilities to what I might have, and we're on social media at completely different times. You might be only in the mornings, I might be only in the afternoons. So in order for you to understand when your target market is actually on social media, you're going to have to find out. Unless if you know, you're going to have to find out. And the only way to find out is through this trial.
Okay. And then choosing your online channels. I know these days, there are so many coming up. But for a small business person who's really just starting up and saying, okay, I'm going to start this digital experience, what would you say are the starting points?
Okay. So what's very important, I've seen so many well put together campaigns, brand comes up with a brilliant campaign, but puts it through the wrong social media accounts or puts it through the wrong channel and it bombs. And the person sitting back thinking, what happened? So you need to first of all, again, shift your mentality, because as an entrepreneur, you always have to be wearing both hats. You got to wear the consumer hat and you got to wear the businessman hat.
Yeah.
So then you start thinking to yourself, okay, you already identified who your target market is, right? You understand where they are, you understand what they do. So now sit back and think, where will these people be in terms of social media accounts, or will they be on specific websites? Start understanding where are they first. And then know which channels are they using to communicate, to share their thoughts, to receive advertising. You need to also start understanding that. Once you've got that, you can then go back and be like, okay, cool. You know what? My target market is purely for Twitter. And then you'll start adapting, not only once you've known where your target market is, and then adapt your advert to fit into that channel. There's no point in you creating this awesome advert and you run it through the wrong channel. If it's a video, maybe try it on Instagram. Or if it's a text, maybe try it on Facebook. If it's an image, try it on Twitter.
Okay, so that is very interesting. So we'll go choosing the online channels. When we go into social next, we'll touch on what the purpose of each social channel is so that you know that you choose the right one. Exactly. And then we've already touched on timeline and action plan.
We touched on it a bit earlier, but again, you need to set yourself how long you're going to run this for. Is it going to be for a month? Is it going to be for 3 months? And then what are you going to do? Who's going to be responsible? If you're outsourcing it, hold the guy down to task. You said on Monday you're going to put up this post. I don't see the post. Know exactly when are you supposed to run. Have yourself your own creative content strategy or your own strategy or demand a strategy from the agency that you're using to say, hey, listen, Monday to Friday, this is what you're going to do for me. Right. Every day, make sure that it's up there and it's running there and you chase after the guy. But you can't do that unless if you have a basic understanding of how this works.
Okay, that is interesting. So we're moving on to another one. That another digital element that we obviously know best is email. Mm. Okay, so why should entrepreneurs consider email if we have all these other social channels?
So I think one of the most underutilized channels is email, and most people always ask me the same question when I speak about email. Like, I ask them, are you using email? They'll be like, email, I only use email to correspond with people. The main reason why most people don't use email is because in order for you to run a successful email campaign, you need what? Email addresses, right?
Exactly.
You need to send it to someone. So if you're a small business owner and you're starting out, where are you going to get those email addresses from? And how are you going to send out the information? Who are you going to send it out to? Well, I think the most important thing that you need to start off with as a business owner is start finding ways on how you're going to start generating those email addresses. It's very important. And I'll explain to you why. Firstly, you can do it via social media. You could run a competition on social media that says, hey, provide me with your email addresses. You can do it on your website where you could put up a note saying, if you want to keep in touch with the latest information, sign up to a newsletter here. You can do it through a paid campaign where you run a campaign saying exactly the same thing. Sign up to our newsletter here. So there are many ways on how you can use digital tools to actually start build, or it's called a list build, how you can build a list of email addresses that you can later use to market.
Yeah, I saw this very clever ad on LinkedIn the other day where a digital marketing company actually used their LinkedIn with a case study and a thought leadership piece and then said, should you want the most updated 27 digital marketing template, send us your email, then they send you back a link and you can download this whole template. So, brilliant way of creating a strong database.
It is using content. And don't forget that person that you've just spoken to now, that person is actually interested in what you're selling, communicating, downloading, whatever it is. That person is interested in the information. So it's very important, again, because of email, it is very important for you know that you're getting the right customer at the right time. And if I can just jump on that, I know we're going to move into email. There's something called gated content, right?
And gated
content.
Okay.
And a lot of people actually speak about this. So what is gated content? How does it work? If I have a great book that talks about how to use social media for small businesses, and it's on my website, and it's free. It's a PDF. You can download it. You can read it. But in order for you to get it, you're going to have to give me something, which will be your email address. So there's a gate in front of it. If you click on it, a pop-up comes up saying, in order for you to download it, please provide. It's exactly the same thing. And you actually have to provide me with the information. And I say in your email address that, are you happy with receiving information from me going forward? And you're like, yes. And now you've become part of my email list.
So two new words for me today, gated content and voice sessions.
Sure.
Okay, so we will use email. Why?
So let's go into it. So the example that I've got here is an email that was sent out by a magazine to one of its readers. Now, the reason why I picked it up is because, for me, this is email marketing in its best, all right?
Okay.
So this is an email just sent out to a reader, and it's first of all, it's personalized. When I receive an email saying, hi there, or something like that, I don't, especially coming from a brand, I don't take it seriously. Because if I'm a customer of yours, or I'm a visitor to your website, you should have taken the precaution to at least know my name, because it's my inbox, right? So it's coming to me, so you should know who you're sending it to. So if it comes through, this email comes through and says, hey, Lindsay, already feeling okay, cool, so this person knows me.
Okay.
It's psychological again. That's what I was talking about. It lowers your defenses already, because now I'm thinking, okay, cool, this person is actually interested in me. It then comes through and then it says, I need you to do me a quick favor. I need you to complete this this survey. Click on the link and I'll really appreciate it. So it's already, the person that sent me an email has already spoken to me using my first name. I'm relaxed. And then they're also asking for my own opinion on how they can make their own business better. I'm really thinking, well, my opinion matters. This person is calling me by my first name. So obviously, I will fill this out. I mean, everyone likes to get their opinions heard. That's why we have social media, right?
Mm.
So you fill out the questionnaire and you send out the information. You, as the business person now, get that information from Lindsay. You've asked Lindsay, do you like a blue product or do you like a green product? Do you like me to send you an email in the morning or would you like me to send you an email in the evening? How do you? What do you normally use to buy? Do you use a credit card or do you use cash? The next email that I sent to Lindsay shouldn't be anything else except for the information that she's told me. She told me she likes a green. She likes a green product. She's also told me that she prefers to receive emails in the evening, and she told me that she pays on credit card. So everything else that goes to Lindsay is that information.
Okay.
So that is email marketing in its quickest form, and this is one of the best emails I've seen sent out. But there are other uses. So the first one, as I've just shown you, was a survey.
Okay.
Nice way to gather information. Again, people like having their opinions put out there, so it's great for you to, every once in a while, find out what are they looking for. If you're going to sell something to me, at least know what I want. You know, so get that information out there. The other one is competitions, discounts, coupons, and vouchers. I love winning. I love discounts. I love cheap things. I like free things. So send me. Don't always send me products. Every once in a while, tickle me with the competition, you know, make me laugh a bit with a joke or a discount or something like that, that'll actually get me back onto your website. So try those products as well. Something else, because when you send out an email to a client, it's going to need content.
Mm.
It's going to need something that's going to grab their attention. You can't every week keep sending me the same thing because I'll unsubscribe and you'll lose me as part of your mailing list. So you're going to have to mix it up. So send me what the new product is, or send me, talk about what your new services are. Keep me up to date. Don't repeat the same thing over and over again. And only send me an email if necessary, because you clog up my inbox, I get angry, and it feels like spam. You don't want to end up feeling like spam. Customer service, again, and support. So we spoke about in the first part about customer service and how being digital for a business improves your communication channels. So what's very important here is that by using email, this is also a nice way for you to speak to your customers. So as an example, I order something from a company and I'm waiting for my delivery. I get an email saying, "Hi, Mpumelelo, thank you so much for placing the order. You'll get your delivery in 2 days. All right, cool, happy with that. On the second day, I get an email saying, "Hi, Mpumelelo, your delivery will arrive between 10 and 2. I'm happy. As a customer, I'm very happy. And as a business, that's what you should be providing. And email does that for you. The last points that I want to get into is repeat purchases. Very important. Once you've gone through the sections that we've spoken about, where you understand your customers, the one thing, unfortunately, I don't go into too much detail here, is understanding your customer's buying cycle. So once you've seen a guy go through the whole buying process and you understand how they work, you know what they've bought, you need to keep that information, because the next email that goes to him should say something like, "Thank you so much for making that purchase. Please review your products." So 2-3 days later, "Please review our products below."
Yeah.
"And if you do review it, we'll give you a 10% discount on your next purchase." So number one, I get a review. If someone's going to offer me a 10% discount for my next purchase, that review is going to be good, by the way. And we're like, "Love the product, using it. It's very good, meets my expectations." And now also I'm going to come back and be like, "Well, I got 10%, so I might as well just go back and buy something else."
So what I've also seen lately on email is that I get some newsletters. So
yes,
people use email as a way to share knowledge, to position themselves as a thought leader.
Yes.
Maybe sending it out via LinkedIn first and then directly to their email database if that is strong enough.
Yeah.
So using it as a thought leadership.
That's also quite important, because what you need to do as, as a thought leader within your industry, if you're putting yourself out there as the expert within the industry that you're in and you're sending out an email about that, you know, you could send me one email that talks about a product. And I read it. Okay, cool. Understand the products. And then you send me an email that talks about the industry that you're in. And you talk about the challenges. And you talk about how a business needs to be structured. And you send out another email that talks about that. And now I'm intrigued. I'm thinking, okay, when's the next email coming in?
Mm.
And you find that the third email might come through and say, "I have written a book about how the industry works. If you're interested in it, you can purchase it here. So the first one caught my attention. The second one was like, well, this is brilliant. I really like this guy's writing. And the third one, he's telling me now where you can actually find this information. So as a business owner, you captivate them by being the thought leader. You provide them with more information and their ears perk up and they start thinking, okay, cool, this is quite interesting. And then the third one, because now I trust you and I believe in you because you've shown me the proof, I'll then make the sale.
So see, entrepreneurs, email, even though it's something that we might consider that clutters on, keeps us busy for the whole day, it could really add value to your business if you use it in the right way. So we've gone on to SEO, paid advertising, email, and now the crux of the matter. So hang with us because the best is yet to come.
Sure.
So we want to know some, based on your experience as a digital coach, what are some of the social media golden rules?
Sure. Social media is very important. So I'll tell you why. As an entrepreneur, you need to start off somewhere. And as an entrepreneur, you in your personal life, you probably use social media as well. So it's easier for you to start off as your starting point and you can start promoting there. But with everything, you need to have some sort of boundaries and actually understand what you're doing. Again, as I've been mentioning, you might want to be running it yourself. You need to have rules. Or if you're outsourcing it to somebody else, you need to provide them with rules. So I've got six. I added one extra. There's six very important elements that you need to know. The first and foremost, set the goals.
Okay.
It's very important for you to know exactly what you want to achieve. As I mentioned before in the first one, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to build your Facebook page? Are you trying to get exposure? Are you trying to get sales? Set those goals. And then understand all the social media accounts. You told me there's thousands of social media accounts out there, or social media channels out there. So find the one that best suits your products. A word of advice, don't try them all at the same time because you will become overwhelmed. Choose two or three at the start. Find out how they work, understand how they work. And then if you feel the need to move on to other ones, move on.
Okay.
Engage. Always engage with your community. What's the point of me becoming part of your community if you never speak to me? Throw me a like every once in a while. Use the hashtags that we spoke about in part one. Find out what your community is speaking about. Give me a retweet, give them a like, and actually speak to them. Share. The thing that I say to people all the time, business owner, you need to share as much information about your personal life or as your business as possible. Even if you're the business owner and you're out having a coffee and it's a beautiful picture of a cappuccino, take a picture and share it. Like, beautiful cappuccino. Share images of yourself and your colleagues out. Share images of your business. Share images with customers. Share videos of customers using your products. Share as much detail as possible. It is very important for people to actually see what you're doing and also for yourself to show some pride in your business. One thing that you need to share, again, are reviews on social media. Not that many companies tend to do that, but put up a picture. Again, put up a picture of a customer holding up a product. Big thumbs up, big smile on his face. That's you with your arm around him. Share that picture because it'll do you a lot of good in the long run. And then it has to be analyzed.
Yeah.
Measured, and then you need to improve.
See, now that brings us to the last thing, is how do we know that our social media strategy is actually effective? So we know we've got website analytics and we've got social media analytics. So
exactly.
How do we know we've been effective?
Cool.
Specifically around website analytics?
Sure. So, I mean, it's very important for you, as we said, if you're running campaigns, so you need to track everything and actually understand it and measure it. So if I run quickly just through the website analytics, you look at your website traffic. Right, so if you run it for a month or 2 months or 3 months, it's actually better if you run it for a couple of months so you can compare it to something. No point in running it for a month and what you're going to compare it to, you don't have a previous month. So maybe try 3 months first and actually look at, you're running a campaign, are you seeing spikes in the traffic that's coming through to your website? It's very important. You need to understand that and see if it's running. If you run it for a month, you don't see any traffic, okay, that's a bit of a concern. But hold on, you know, give it another 2-3 weeks. You run it for the second month and you start seeing a bit of a spike. Okay, maybe I'm starting to see some growth. And then the third month, you can make a decision. Again, it also assists with your customer segmentation because, as we mentioned before, you get a lot of analytics. So maybe you run it for the first month, you look back at the analytics, and now you know how old your customers are, or where your customers are coming from, or what device they're using to access your website. Then rethink your next month's advertising and actually use that information. The next point, which is very important, is traffic source. If I'm running a campaign on Facebook and I'm running a paid campaign on Facebook and I'm sending out generic organic posts on Twitter, but when I look at my website traffic, I'm only getting traffic from Twitter and I'm paying for Facebook, hold on, I need to rethink my strategy here. So obviously, see where the traffic is coming from. Is it through social? Is it through referral? Is it through email? And again, all the analytics that you would use for your website, it provides that information for you. It tells you without even stressing. It actually codes the stuff for you. So you never need to stress about that. What's also very important, especially when you're running campaigns, is the bounce rate. Now, there's a lot of confusion when it comes to a bounce rate. Some people have a bounce rate of 70, some people have a bounce rate of 10%, it's all in percent. So what the bounce rate is how many people are coming to your website when they arrive at your website and are actually just not even clicking through to another page, but actually leaving instantly.
Okay.
So you need to understand that first and foremost. So if I'm running a campaign online and I've got an 80% bounce rate, so which means people are not even spending more than 10 seconds, they're not moving around, they actually come to the site and leave instantly, there's a problem. 80% of the people that come to my website don't even spend a second, and they're all coming from my paid advertising. So then you need to rethink, is the message that I'm sending the same as what they're seeing when they receive at my website? So clearly there's something broken down. So try something else. Try and rethink your time. So an acceptable bounce rate for me personally, especially for the first few months while you feel your way around, it's probably about 50% to 60%. I'll be happy with that as a marketer, especially if the guys that are coming through are going through, the other 40 to 50% are actually going through and doing things. So then you can start following what those guys are doing so that you can rework your bounce rates to actually match what the other guys are doing. You'll never have 100%, a 10% or a 2% bounce rate. It's impossible. There are people who are going to click on your ads expecting something else and get there and find something completely different. It's natural. Don't be alarmed. Just make sure you keep it under control. Top pages. Does it match? So if I've got a campaign running and people are supposed to fill out for my newsletter, and it's not an email newsletter, are people going to my pages? Are the people going to the right pages? So know which pages people are actually arriving on your website. It is very important for you to understand that. One of my favorites, and very important because this is why we do the conversion rates. Are these people turning into sales? That's all that matters at the end. You set yourself goals within your website. So if I'm selling t-shirts on my website, I've got an e-commerce store. By using Google Analytics as well, I'll be able to set goals to say, when someone clicks checkout at the baskets at the end, that's a conversion. So of how many people come from my paid accounts to and go through the whole process and buying and actually become a sale, that is a conversion. So if I'm getting 100 and 10 of them become, if I get 100 people to come in through and all of them end up purchasing, I've got 100% conversion rate. I love that. If 5 of them buy, I've got a 50% conversion rate. Something that's very important to you. Again, because when you look at the bounce rate, if you have a 80% bounce rate, but out of those 20%, all of them are sales, I wouldn't be so quick to change things. I'll actually be quite relaxed and be like, okay, cool, at least that 20% is giving me sales.
So what you are saying is that we actually have to look at all of these analytics holistically.
Exactly.
And how they are interrelated.
Exactly.
That
makes perfect sense.
There is a science to it.
there is, especially.
Okay, so any last thoughts on the website analytics before we move over to social media?
I think the last one just to put out there is that conversion by traffic source. Again, you need to know which traffic source. Is it referral? Is it social? Is it direct? Or is it an email campaign? Or is it another website where you might have put up your information about your company is actually getting you the conversions? Very important. I know I've put in 6 items there, but the last 2 are very key because as an entrepreneur and as a business owner, your pockets is what matters at the end.
Okay, thanks for sharing all that. Sure, fascinating information. So if we go into social media, which is the last part of this before we conclude, social media analytics, you've defined 5 of these which you want to tell the entrepreneurs about.
And again, we all use social media, so this will be quite... I think easy for everyone to understand. Engagement is the very first and very important one out of most of these points here. Are people even engaging with the information that you're putting out there? Are you engaging? Is there a give-take type of relationship between the two of you? So whenever you put out a post, you need to understand how many people are liking it, how many people are sharing it. Are you also going out there and actually doing the same thing when it relates to engagement? The second one is, you spoke about this earlier on, time of engagement. There's no point in you sending out all your posts or your information in the morning when 90% of your customers are actually out in the evening.
Yes.
So you need to see that after a month of running the campaign, sit back and be like, okay, cool. How many of my clicks actually took place in the morning? Zero. Okay, then I'm never sending out a post in the morning ever again. I'll try the afternoon and I'll try the evening.
Okay, so that's the time. So meaning there's a very big difference, just to reiterate again, between reach versus engagement. So engagement is what you ultimately want. Those that like, share, retweet, etc.
Yeah. Okay. Because you can reach, I mean, practically with Facebook, you can reach as many accounts out there. I don't know, millions of accounts out there. But if no one imagine reaching a million accounts and you don't even get a like. That even hurts me. So what matters really is the engagement. Again, as you said, it's very important. Just to go back to the time of engagement, another thing that you also need to look to, not just the time, the morning and evening, it's also the days.
Yes.
7 days in the week, which ones do you get more? And what the science comes into it again. Is it Saturday in the afternoons when everyone's at home relaxing? Is it Mondays in the morning when everyone's coming in and don't really feel like working, so they just go through their social media accounts? All the analytics, again, as I explained to you, all the social media accounts have analytics behind you. And they just graphs it nice for you easily. You just have to sit back and actually look at it and understand when are the best days. It actually shows you.
So if I actually want to get these analytics, I literally go into my various accounts, Facebook, my Twitter, and I click on an analytics tab and I can drop down on what type of information. But these are the information and the analytics ideally that we'd like to track and measure post every campaign or monthly or however.
Because this is how you're going to move forward. Yeah. By understanding all of this is how your business will move forward. It's called different things. On Facebook, it's called insights. On Twitter, it's called analytics. So you just need to understand. But you can get information by simply just Googling it. Again, mentions, likes, and shares, as we spoke about. Engagement is quite important. Monitor them, understand them, because you need to see how many mentions are you getting, how many likes you're getting, how many shares you're getting. And then you can also start looking at which posts are getting the likes, the mentions, and the shares as well. So it might be content, a lot of text-heavy stuff is getting shares because it's quite meaningful. But your videos and your pictures might only be getting likes and mentions. So start understanding it, because as an entrepreneur, you don't want to be wasting time forever doing the same thing. You're only going to have to start using the stuff that is popular to promote your business.
Sure.
Demographics, I think that explains it by itself. You need to understand who your client is, how old they are, because you need to speak to them in a certain way. Are they male, are the gender, are they male, are they female, which devices are they using, so where are they coming from. So you need to also understand that, and you would look at that in terms of the analytics, which content is popular. You'll see that quite simply. If it's images and video are two of the most popular things. At the moment, I think we'll all see when you go through your social media accounts, one of the most popular things that you see are all these small little snippets of videos. That's because video is becoming very popular. And I mean, we're doing a video right now, so it's as a means of getting information out. And I always say to my, to my clients is that, guys, whenever you are doing something, just record for 5-10 minutes. You know, record it and send it out to your community.
Yeah, very, very good point. So I think you can definitely see from this, our digital coach expert here, that digital, you can't go without it anymore. And that honestly, it's not that difficult. We literally got to start somewhere. So hopefully this MVA recording would have given you some basic understanding of what it is about.
I hope so too.
Yes.
I hope so
too. And that we know that data is the new oil. Yes. So making sure that we use the internet to market our business and to understand our business and to understand our customers. That we know now about which are these online tools and how to effectively use them.
100%.
We know now that we can get to know our customers to market even more effectively. Mm-hmm. That we want to really try and build that community to grow our business and to get the word out there. And like His famous word today is like share. Yes. So if you were hesitant to share previously. So those are the takes that I'm taking from this series. Any last closing thoughts from your side?
I think if I could just go back, just a few things. It's important for you to understand the basics.
Yes.
Know exactly what, the basics. The stuff that I've told you today, for me, are the basics. You need to understand that. You need to also use the internet to market your brands, but wisely, because it can come back and give you a negative reputation. You need to use the tools to track. Even if you're not doing a large campaign or anything like that, for your own business, just know who your customer is. Use the tools to actually track and understand who your customer is, what are they buying, what do they like. Use the emails that we spoke about to actually get some information about them. Even if you're using digital for that, just for your customers. But Jewett, build a community. There is nothing more important than having a community of followers through social or through your websites or through email. But you need to build a community of people, because at the end of the day, that's where you're going to find your customers. Those are the people. If I follow you, Anya, on Facebook or on Twitter, and I follow you because the stuff that you talk about, I'm interested in. What you're selling to me, I'm buying it already. Even though it's not a product or anything like that, I'm really interested. And when it does become a product, I will then purchase it because I trust you and I believe that you know what you're talking about. And it's the same with business. Like how you have personal people following your social media accounts, it's exactly the same. And the last point is share. I can't say that anymore. Share all the information you need.
Sure, this was a mouthful. So I know if you haven't had enough of this as yet and the digital bug has bitten, we've got these three recommended readings, the Marketing 4.0, by those very difficult surnames that I won't.
Sure, no, that's fine. I mean, it basically tells you on how to move away from traditional to digital. Most of the small businesses still stick to traditional because that's all they know. But Marketing 4.0 will change your mind. It'll blow your mind as it's done for me.
And then Content Inc. So I know we were saying that content word a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It breaks down again the purpose of how... It's basically telling you why you should use content to generate sales and for your SEO as well.
Cool. And then lastly, the Social Media Bible by Lon Safko.
I don't even think I need to explain that
one. No, definitely not. So... thank you very much for being
in
the studio
and
sharing all your knowledge. Entrepreneurs, we hope you've enjoyed this series and that you will take the digital journey with us. Until next time, goodbye.
Cheers.